This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, from time to time, I like to touch down on one of the major towns in sports in the country. If I see a town that's got two and or three teams that are quote-unquote in the news, playing good ball, looking like a playoff team, opening eyes, and or creating debate, then I say, all right, we got to get somebody on from that town to give us what's going down and how it's being handled by the fan base in that metropolitan area. Well, Houston jumps up big time this week because the Rockets are off to a fast start. The Texans have a huge game on Sunday against the Ravens in the AFC. And, oh, by the way, yes, the Astros have been a major topic of conversation because some of the ex-Astros have dropped dime on them on how they get advantages in winning baseball games, a.k.a. cheating. Here to discuss what's going on with the top Houston teams these days, his podcast, the Mike Meltzer Report, is something you should be checking out. And he has been a radio personality in Houston for years. Mike Meltzer hops on with us here on CBS Sports Radio. How you been, Mike?
Jody, I'm doing great. How are you, man?
Good. As you heard my introduction to you and your town, tongues are wagging about what's going on in sports down there in H-Town. I said at the top of the show, I like to talk about what's actually happening on the field, on the ice, on the court, whatever it is. But from time to time, other things distract us. Has what has come out about the Astros over the past week put everything else in the rearview mirror in Houston?
Yeah, I think for now, yes, especially when you think about timing, Jody, because the Texans last played in London 2 weeks ago tomorrow, so they're coming off a bye. The Rockets are still early in the season. I don't think there's a ton of buzz right now just because it's the NBA in November. And so, yes, this became the biggest storyline in Houston this week. The allegations of cheating by Mike Fiers and a couple of other pitchers on the record last Monday. When you think about those circumstances, NFL team playing well but on a bye, and then NBA team early in the season, yes, the Astros story was definitely the biggest in Houston this past week, no question.
There is some pretty good evidence that Houston was taking advantage and using modern technology to give them an edge, unless you think Mike Fiers is just a stone-cold liar. The Astros have responded publicly, not much, but some. What do you think they're saying privately?
Boy, that's a great question. I don't know. I have no idea what they're saying privately. I mean, I guess we'll see what's going to happen with this baseball investigation. I have a lot of thoughts about this story because I do have a big problem with teams using electronics to steal signs. Like, the stuff that you read in this report, Jody, about installing cameras in center field, like, I'm sitting here reading this story, and I'm thinking, what is it these people at Major League Baseball do? Like, to me, if you and I ran Major League Baseball, I don't know anything about security, but I would think that one really basic premise that I would operate with if I was in the league office would be, okay, no teams are allowed to install any cameras, any equipment, anywhere in their ballparks. Like, the only thing they're allowed to install is stuff that is supervised by our security, everything's logged, the wiring, all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm reading these stories, and the idea of Major League Baseball teams being able to install cameras in their stadiums, to me, is crazy. I know some of those are analytics, like this PitchFX and all those other cameras. That's fine. But whatever baseball, like, I don't understand what these people do at the league office to allow this kind of stuff to go on, not only here in Houston, but some other teams as well. It's baffling to me.
Understood. But if you're doing so to get a competitive advantage, you can just basically fudge why you're putting that technology there. As you say, you're just using it for your own research after the fact that it's not actually turned on during games. I don't know how many people Major League Baseball would have to employ to completely have security filled game in, game out, night in, night out at 15 different ballparks because, yeah, there are 15 home teams on any given night in Major League Baseball.
That's true. They have to do something. It seems like they've been completely asleep at the switch. And tell me this, Jody. I want to ask you a question, because you tell me, because one of the things I think is a failing of our society these days is, like, people don't recognize their own biases, right? Like, I recognize on this story, I'm biased. I want the Astros to win. So my reaction when I read this story, I'm not going to deny it, because that would be absurd. That would be ridiculous for me to deny it. But I also, when I read it, I'm thinking, okay, if this is true, that means every player, every coach, everybody is guilty and implicated, from the GM to A.J. Hinch to George Springer to Altuve to Alex Bregman to Carlos Correa, every single guy. And if that's the case, it does make me wonder where else this is going on in Major League Baseball. Do you feel the same way? Because that's how I feel reading that story Monday.
Right, and that's one of the reasons why I don't have an issue with Mike Fiers coming out. I know some Astros do. I guess they're subscribing to the Honor Among Thieves thing. Hey, when you were cheating with us, you were cool with it. Now you're not? Well, yeah, that's the way it works. And see if you're on the same page with me on this, because I debated a caller earlier today who thought, shame on Mike Fiers, he's just a rat. I said, well, here's where you stop being a rat. If you know about it, and Mike Fiers didn't the day that he left the Astros announce to the world, hey, by the way, I'm leaving Houston. The Astros are stinking cheaters. No, it took years for it to come out, and I believe it was because they actually tried to use it against Mike Fiers' team. Well, once you're out of the conspiracy and you're no longer attached to it, you can't use that same method of cheating against him. If you want the guy to stay with the Honor Among Thieves code, well, you can't cheat on him and take advantage of it, can you?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm still working through my thoughts on Mike Fiers, because I am wondering, like, exactly why there is a rift between the Astros and Mike Fiers. Like, they did leave him off the World Series roster, the whole playoff roster, actually, in 2017, which was, by the way, the right call by them, because he wasn't needed at that point. Mike Fiers won a World Series ring that year, which was 100% deserved, because A, he was a member of the team. B, people forget, he actually pitched really well for a stretch, I want to say for about 6 to 8 weeks that summer, when they had pitching injuries all over the place.
Yep.
Lance McCullers, Dallas Keuchel, people forget that. But circling back to your question, yeah, I think that's a tough one, because if you're a guy like Mike Fiers, you're not Justin Verlander. You're not a star pitcher. Like, you get traded to the Astros, and they get Carlos Beltran. They get other guys. They allegedly implement this system. Like, what are you going to do? Are you going to say something then? You're sort of a quasi-fringe guy. I don't know. I don't know exactly how to blame Mike Fiers on this. I guess, I do wonder again, like, how often this happens across Major League Baseball, because I'll just say, on pretty decent authority that the Astros were fairly convinced that the Red Sox were cheating pretty heavily during the ALCS last year when they beat the Astros. And just the whole thing makes me wonder, like, how much this is going on in Major League Baseball as a whole. I do not excuse the Astros. If the Major League Baseball investigation, does find evidence of wrongdoing, I don't think, Jody, that the equivalent of Goodell suspending Sean Payton for a year, I think that's on the table. And we saw the commissioner, kick out that Brave GM for life based on violating international bonus pool rules and lying about it. So the commissioner does have a lot of authority to do basically whatever he wants. And I think that kind of stuff is theoretically on the table.
The one thing that you and I agree on is Major League Baseball, I don't know how capable they are of doing it and what levels they would have to go to, but the amount of scrutiny with security has to be upped across the board, not just in Houston, because you're right, other teams can and may be doing this. It's just the spotlight is on the Astros right now. We're talking to Mike Meltzer, our Houston radio host, and his podcast, the Mike Meltzer Podcast, you should check out. All right, let me jump over to the Texans. Big showdown game against the Ravens tomorrow. Two of the better young quarterbacks in the game, Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson, going mano a mano. This is a big game for their Houston, because they need to establish themselves. They're a very good team right now. Are they a great team? Are they a team that is a Super Bowl contender? We need to find that out. A win against the Ravens would go a long way in elevating their profile.
I agree. This is a game that is critical for the two seed. I think much bigger for Houston than Baltimore, because just the math indicates with the Texans a game behind right now, like, if they drop another game to the Ravens, lose the tiebreaker, I think the Texans are out for any possibility of the two seed. The Texans are a good team. I don't even think they're at the level of a very good team yet, but what they do have is just a tremendous quarterback. Deshaun Watson, if people have not been watching him on a weekly basis, he's taken a step up. He's playing at a really high level. What I wonder about Jody is the Texans defense, after the Jadeveon Clowney trade, after J.J. Watt is done for the season, I just worry about how much firepower they have on that side of the football. Tomorrow, they're without Bradley Roby again. That's been their best cover corner this season. And so they're basically, I think, on the back end. On the front end, they have a lot of, like, try-hard guys as well. They don't have, other than Whitney Mercilus, anybody who's a natural pass rusher. I'm picking Baltimore to win for two reasons. One, it's in Baltimore. And two, I worry about Houston's ability to handle the raw speed of Baltimore's offense, specifically Lamar Jackson and Hollywood Brown. But I look at these games now with a sense of confidence because I feel like when you have Deshaun Watson, you always have a chance. And the Texans absolutely have a chance tomorrow against Baltimore.
The one thing that scared me about the Texans, and oh, by the way, I seriously contemplated taking them as my AFC representative in the Super Bowl. I checked it out last week of the season because of the issues that they still had with the offensive line and the fact that they didn't have a per se general manager. Well, they got the Tunsil deal done, and he's been Laramie Tunsil, and their offensive line is improved mostly because of him. So although I got my questions answered, not till after the season started, and I jumped off there going to the Super Bowl bandwagon, how has it played this year without a real general manager in place? They fired their guy. They kind of elevated several people within the organization. We know that the coach has pretty much last say on player personnel moves. Has it worked out good? Do you think they're going to stay with this arrangement? How's it shook out there in Houston?
I think the part about what they do in the future is a really open question. I don't even know if people in the organization fully know what's going to happen after this season ends. Like, I tend to think that they're going to hire some kind of GM who is in line with Bill O'Brien. I still think Nick Caserio from the Patriots is a possibility. It's hard to say how it's worked out because, you know, there's the short-term versus the long-term, right, Jody? And the short-term is they're 6-3. They've added a bunch of guys who have helped them this season. Laramie Tunsil, Duke Johnson, Kenny Stills have been big contributors to this team. I worry about building a team in this fashion because you look moving forward. They do have Deshaun. They do have Laramie Tunsil. They have a talented, like, top of the roster, but there's no – I mean, it's like I need to keep, like, a running chart in front of me with how many draft picks they don't have moving forward. They don't have a first-round pick the next 2 years. They do have a second-round pick this year. They don't have a 1 and a 2 in 2021. And so I worry, as you have to pay Deshaun Watson, you have to pay Laramie Tunsil, you're going to have to find cheap talent, and those will not be at least the next 2 years' first-round picks. But listen, you asked me about how it's working. Well, the Tunsil deal, they paid at least 100 cents on the dollar, but that dude has been a terrific left tackle. I think he's going to play tomorrow. He's been a little bit banged up recently. But as far as, like, the landscape of the league goes, it is brutally difficult to find elite or really good young left tackles. That's what Laramie Tunsil is. Kenny Stills, who is the second part of that deal, has been, I would say, a really nice contributor offensively, especially since the Texans have injury and other issues with Will Fuller and Kiki QT. Stills has been a big guy for them. And I think they also paid too much in the trade for Duke Johnson, giving up a third. I think a real GM would have paid a 4 or 5 for Duke Johnson. But again, once you get to the field on Sundays, Duke Johnson is good at playing football. They used him really well against the Jaguars in London 2 weeks ago. He's very explosive out of the backfield. I think one of their better moves, and this will sound really weird, but people who play fantasy football, which I know is a bunch of your audience, like them trading Martinez Rankin, a poor draft pick of offensive lineman for Carlos Hyde, has been maybe their best deal. Because as weird as this is to say, I've watched every single game Bill O'Brien has coached in Houston, and Carlos Hyde is like his ideal running back. Bill O'Brien wants to have his main running back be an in-between-the-tackles, big, tough guy who breaks tackles. He wants to use guys like their Earl Campbell, basically. That's why the Lamar Miller thing was always a weird fit. They make that trade, and now this running back combination with Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson actually makes a lot of sense.
All right, one rocket question before we let you go. Another one that yours truly was trying to project with and just got wrong. And the Texans, despite not having a GM, have actually done well in the moves that you've just described. May pay a price later with the draft picks that have relocated, but they're a better team because of some of the acquisitions they've made. Coming into the season, I thought that I questioned the remarriage of Harden and Westbrook. So far, not bad. But the thing that really scared me was the Daryl Morey situation with his social justice tweeting and the repercussions and the way he was being talked about and dealt with around the league. I thought it could have an adverse effect on the Rockets. Well, they won 9 of their first 12 games. They got the second best record in the West. Is that still referenced? Is it talked about often, infrequently, every day? Jody, I haven't heard anybody talk about it in 10 days. How does what was all the rage in the NBA for the better part of 2.5-3 weeks before the season started, what kind of an effect is it having on the Rocket team today?
I think on the Rockets, none. As far as in the media with the fans, I think very little, partially because I think what is there really left to say? I think you'll see what the impact is on the team business-wise. You know, moving forward will be interesting. I think I saw a report, Jody, that they're going to lose like $7 million this season. You never know if those numbers are 100% true or completely made up by somebody out of thin air, so who the heck knows? I think people, and especially, you know, Daryl's now talking to the media, but for obvious reasons, like, this is the one topic that he is not going to talk about. So any interview I've seen from Daryl, whether nationally or locally, like, that stuff is off limits for obvious reasons. So, and I don't think that's the kind of thing the players are going to worry about or care about after it's in the rearview mirror. My quick take on the team is I was just hoping for them to avoid a bad start. Like, last year, they got up to this horrific start where they were 14th in the West and had to basically dig themselves out. You know, Westbrook's weird in that I don't think that Russell Westbrook has been a bad fit with James Harden at all. It looks more seamless than you think. The big thing is Westbrook's got to, you know, actually shoot the ball much better. I mean, listen, Westbrook shot 29% from three last season, right? That's bad. That's really bad. He's shooting 21%. So I think he'll get it a little bit better. Harden is basically putting up Wilt Chamberlain-like numbers, which is not a surprise. But I think at some point, while Westbrook is a bad shooter, probably the worst deep shooter by volume in the history of the NBA, he's got to pick it up a little bit for the Rockets to achieve their goals moving forward here.
Mike, great stuff. Good catching up. Appreciate your insight on the Houston market. Seems fun to be down there these days. Continue to enjoy. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Jody, thank you so much.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.